Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're in the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, let's hook up with Jeff Goodman, our buddy and basketball analyst at WatchStadium.com, and talk college rack. All right, Goody, let's start by going back to the two-game stretch Virginia had over the weekend, playing at Charlottesville at home against Duke and kind of getting whacked, and then being able to win a big game in Chapel Hill. That was huge.
Yeah, listen, if you could have told them they were going to get a split, I think they would have taken it to some degree, especially with the way Duke shot the ball against them. I mean, R.J. Barrett comes out hitting for his first five. Cam Reddish is hitting them. When that happens, nobody's going to beat Duke for real. Nobody's going to beat them when they shoot the ball like that. Now, I don't know if they're going to shoot the ball like that very consistently. They did it against Kentucky the first game. They did it against Virginia in Charlottesville. But they're not that good a shooting team. So my biggest question for them is, you know, in those one or two games in the NCAA tournament, when they're 3-for-15 from three, who are they playing, and can they still win games like that? I still like Virginia. I still think they have a chance to win six straight because they've got multiple guys who could score the ball. They know their roles, and I think they're going to be on a mission once they get to the NCAA tournament, obviously, based on what happened in the first round last year.
You know, I love Jerome's game. I never knew he was so good coming out of New Rochelle, but he reminds me, you know, believe me, I'm like 6'4", 200 like him, and he's got those long arms, and he gets those little shovel shots off when he'll drive in the paint and then, you know, lean one way and whip it up off the glass from either hand, and he drives a lot. He's not afraid to go to the rack. I love that kid's game, and he's been playing with a bad back. I saw him getting jellied up over the weekend and against the Heels. That's a problem, but I love that kid's game. Did you know he was such a stud coming out of high school?
No, he was like a fringe top 100 kid. I remember seeing him a bunch in AAU, and I liked him. But I didn't, like, love him. I was like, all right, Kyle Guy, I'd seen him a ton, too, in AAU, and loved Kyle Guy, loved him. But, again, I thought, like, Kyle Guy and Ty Jerome together, like, how good are these two dudes going to be in the ACC at the highest level? Kyle is so thin. But I think they're both going to be on rosters in the NBA. And I think DeAndre Hunter, nobody knew how good he was. Redshirted his freshman year. So those three are three high-level guys that I think are all going to be on NBA rosters. I don't know what roles they're going to be at the next level. And let's face it, like, Tony Bennett is one hell of a coach. I mean, say what you want, and people will. Well, they lost to UMBC, and, well, he hasn't gotten to the Final Four. I get all that, but look at what he's done. I mean, their record in the ACC, it's 10 games better over the last 5.5, almost 6 years. He's got a record 10 games better than both Kay and Roy in the ACC. That's insane.
Did you go back to those Indiana losses with Iowa and then Ohio State? And I've been saying on the air, I went to IU and everything. The last time they were relevant, if you ask me now, sans 2002 when Davis got them to the finals and they lost. The last time they were legit was 87 when Knight beat Syracuse at the Superdome. I was at the game. It was the last game I ever covered. Key Smart shot. I cannot believe, Goody, how bad they have fallen because they really suck. I don't care what anybody says. And that kid, Romeo Langford, he's not ready for the NBA either. I don't care what anybody says.
He's not ready, but he'll go and he'll be taken in the top 10. I think it's a combination of things. But you're right. Listen, other than the 1 year when they were the number one seed under Crean and was knocked out by Syracuse in the Sweet 16, that was probably the only other time you would say they were nationally relevant, right? But they didn't get to the Final Four. The problem is Crean didn't leave them enough, number one. You know, he didn't have a chance to keep Thomas Bryant or James Blackman. OG was gone. We knew that. And then Archie just hasn't done, number one, a great job. Number two, he's had a lot of issues, whether it's suspensions, injuries, whatnot. The only player that Kareem really left him of any major note was Juwan Morgan. He gets Romeo, so everybody thinks like Romeo is Eric Gordon. And he's not. He's not a killer like Eric Gordon. That's the difference. Is Romeo's not the shooter Eric Gordon was, and he doesn't have that personality. They're both quiet off the court, but Eric Gordon was a straight-up killer on the court.
No doubt, and he's still hitting bombs in the NBA. Let's talk about your piece you did on Zion Williamson. I thought it was really cool where you basically, in essence, talked to a bunch of players that had faced him, and what did you derive from all that, talking to all those different kids?
I mean, number one, they all basically said, like, underneath it all, I don't know how you stop them. I don't know. Because, you know, you're talking to some of these dudes, and they're like, one guy was like 195 pounds. Another kid was like 220. Like, the biggest kid he went up against was like 240. So no matter who you are, you're giving up 40, 45 pounds to this kid. And, you know, I was actually talking to LeBron the other night when he came in Boston about Zion. And I said to him, like, you know, a lot of people have compared you to Zion. And he looked at me and he's like, you know, what does he weigh, 260? I said, no, he weighs 285. He goes, man, I weighed like 215, maybe 220 at the same stage. My rookie year, I weighed about 220. And that's the biggest difference is, and he's way better than I thought too. He's way better because he plays harder on both ends of the court. He plays hard and he's got better skill level than we thought. Like, he's quicker. He makes better decisions. He's a good passer. He's not a dog. Like, he plays for his team. Like, that was the other part, is that every guy that I talked to who guarded him, of all 12, they're all like, had the ultimate respect for him because he didn't talk any trash. He was a great teammate. Like, they all just, you never hear that. Everybody's always, well, you know, like, he did that, you know, everybody's jealous, or at least a lot of them. Nobody was jealous of this kid.
So what do you think of I just want to say this about him as well, that like, we've talked about this on the show, that they constantly it's turned into Zion TV, your old stomping grounds. I think it's embarrassing, definitely, though, when they spend time showing him missing dunks. That makes no sense to me, where they showed the highlight of him doing the reverse dunk miss the other night, or the windmill dunk that he missed, and they showed it 5 million times on ESPN. I've never seen a guy in my life, not even Michael Jordan, where they showed him missing dunks.
Ratings, my man. Ratings. That's all. Listen, they know Zion sells. So it's crazy because you watch and, like, Zion will have 27 points. R.J. Barrett will have 25. They'll show like 27 from Zion, or every field goal, and they'll show like one field goal from R.J. Barrett. And they just know, listen, they know that the combination of Zion and Duke is like ESPN's dream right now. Because of from a ratings perspective.
Yeah, I can't jive with that. I could see showing him hammering dunks and going to the lane and finishing and grabbing rebounds, swatting shots, and everything else. It's I don't see what purpose it serves, or to him. I don't know how it does him any good that, you know, like, his head's got to be getting bigger and bigger knowing that he's on TV 24/7, and now they're even showing him having you know, failure as some kind of success. That's amazing to me. What do you think of the new top 16 seeds that were revealed over the weekend of, you know, the first looks at March Madness with, you know, Duke 1, Tennessee 2, Virginia 3, Gonzaga 4, and Kentucky 5, Michigan 6, et cetera?
I don't care that much. I mean, honestly, I think it's just done for entertainment value, get people talking, get people interested. That's fine. I mean, you know, Super Bowl's over. You want to get people interested, so it's something to talk about, but it's irrelevant right now. I mean, listen, the key is how much the 10 committee members are going to rely on this new evaluation tool, the net. That's the biggest thing right now. And, you know, it's pretty close in line for the most part with the net. You know, there's some differences in terms of the order, but for the most part, you know, the teams that are there are the ones that are high up in the net. And The biggest shock, period, in the country right now for teams that are up there that we wouldn't have expected is the job Kelvin Sampson's done at Houston. He lost his best player, Rob Gray, from last year, and they've lost one game. And it was like, on a last-second charge. Like, Houston could be legitimately undefeated right now. Now, the American isn't that good. But still, the fact that we're talking about Houston and Kelvin Sampson, and I'll tell you what, like, it's going to be interesting to see. If some of these jobs pop, UCLA is already open. We'll see what happens at Arizona. We'll see what happens at you know, Texas A&M. At, you know, Texas, I think, is fine, Shaka, for this year. But it'll just be interesting to see with Kelvin and the fact that he was fired for phone calls years ago with a five-year show cause. Who will go after him, if anybody? Because the guy can coach. He can coach.
There's no doubt he can coach. He was doing great until they busted him, and that kind of, you know, sullied his name. What do you think of Marquette? That you go back to that nice win over Nova. How tough do you think they are?
They can score, man. They have two of the top maybe 10 shooters in the country, not just Marcus Howard, but Sam Hauser. So Wojo's finally got a team, and Howard is just electric. He can score. He can put up 30, 40. They're tougher than they've been over the last few years. That's kind of the biggest thing for this Marquette team. They guard. They're tougher. They're older. And Wojo, you know, it took them 5 years here to really get it going at a program that, again, a lot of people would say is as good as just about any in the Big East because of the money they spend at Marquette. They support that program. And Buzz Williams left for Virginia Tech 5 years ago. They hire Wojo. It took a while, but he's finally got it to where, you know, they may be able to win the Big East. And the Big East isn't the way it's been over the last few years. It's not. I mean, listen, Villanova's come back strong, but there's still nothing like the Villanova teams of the last 3 years. And, you know, St. John's is talented. They're just so up and down and erratic. And I love Shamari Ponds. Their guard is terrific.
Yeah, he is a badass. What do you think of the job Max doing at Louisville? They got a big game this week with Duke.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. I mean, I saw him. I was there for that Kentucky game, and they were never really in it. Like, his talent level, what he was given, is average at best. They've got a really good recruiting class coming in next year, so I think, which is really impressive because the NCAA hasn't finished everything up on Louisville, and they've done a great job. Now, Chris Max, one of the best young coaches. And I hate to call him young. He's not really young. But he's done an unbelievable job with a roster that may not have an NBA player on it. You know, just their second best player is Kristen Cunningham, who's a grad transfer from Samford. And you know how many games Samford won last year? 10. Samford.
That's
their second best player.
Hey, Goody, do you think the job Jay's done at Nova is pretty impressive? They, you know, finally lost a Big East game, but they were 10-0 until the Marquette loss. He's done a hell of a job with a team that lost a lot.
Hell of a job. I mean, seriously, ridiculous. And he got a lot of crap because he wasn't playing the kid Javon Quinterly, you know, who they got. Remember, he was the one who initially signed with Arizona, McDonald's All-American. He ends up bouncing out of that commitment. They take him at Villanova. And I had him on my podcast a couple weeks ago, and he was so honest about it. He said, listen, this kid was – he's a street ball player. That's basically what he called him. He said, like, you know, we – basically without saying it, he said, we had to kind of deprogram him. And he's not playing for him, but he's got guys that just buy in. And the culture is real at Villanova. I know people are tired of hearing about it, but it's at a point now where guys like Eric Pascal and Phil Booth, they're going to pass it down to the next group. And hopefully they won't lose it like they did. Because for a while there, a couple of years, they lost it. The Corey Stokes, Corey Fisher, that group, they kind of lost it. And Jay Wright had to get it back by getting his type of guys.
Yeah. Hey, what's the name of the podcast, Goody, that everybody can check out?
Good and Plenty. Good and Plenty podcast.
I like that.
A lot of college. You got to listen to the one. The best one I did was I don't know how long ago, a month and a half ago. Gilbert Arenas was phenomenal because we were just telling stories. Like, legitimately, he told the gun story. He told, like, the story, his best prank. He was a big prankster, still is, where he, like, took somebody's car and, like, hit it and took the rims off it. Like, Gilbert's just awesome. I mean, just hilarious.
Yeah, so one night we got back from a Thrasher game in Atlanta, landed in the Hawks team plane. We got out of the parking lot, the private lot at Hartsfield, and Isaiah Ryder at the time was playing with the Hawks, and someone had taken three of his tires. They left one on the block. That's when you know you got people that don't like you and know exactly who you are and where you park your car. Hey, Goody, great stuff, man. Thanks for coming on the bench.
Always, man. Always good being on, and we'll talk soon.
All right, Jeff Goodman, our guy. Check out his podcast, too. I love it. Good and Plenty. He's on the bench on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
I mean, to tell you, honestly, TCU, you suck so bad. Just get rid of your basketball program. I mean, I watched them in literally the last 10 minutes. Right, so the last five of regulation and the first, you know, the overtime that just ended, Kansas beat them, 82-77. I cannot believe I bet on that team. But here's why. I mean, they literally had – they must have shot 15 free throws, and they made about seven of them. I mean, they missed – they had two free throws every time they went to the line, and they never made two once in literally the last 10 minutes. I mean, they went to the line every single minute. They went down the floor. They went to the line, and they missed every Pharrell and free throw. I mean, you should have seen them. They were breaking free throws like nothing I've ever seen in my life. And I was calling every one of them. I was in the newsroom going, this kid couldn't make both free throws if they gave him $100. And they were breaking one after the next, and they lost because of it. So here's an idea for you, Coach. And they try to make this guy out to be some kind of hero, too. Jamie Dixon down at TCU. Please spare me with the big Jamie Dixon cutouts in the crowd. You guys are embarrassing. Here's the deal. Go to practice tomorrow, Coach, and make them shoot free throws for two Pharrell and hours. I mean, your team is terrible. Honestly, you suck so bad. Watching you guys lose that game tonight was embarrassing. Like, they had the last possession, they had the ball game tied, right? And the shot clock's on, and they two guys dribbled the ball for 29 seconds. They never passed it once, just to the other guy. Two guys handled the ball. That was it. And then the last guy took a crappy runner on the wing with a guy all up in his face, and he didn't even hit the rim. And then they went to the free throw line 10 times at least in the overtime and missed half of them. And that's why they lost. And Kansas kept going to the line. They made every single free throw. Three of their guys fouled out. Three of their starters didn't matter. They still won the game. When the third guy fouled out, I was in the newsroom. I go, they'll still win because TCU sucks so bad. That's why. That's why they lost, because they sucked so bad that they couldn't win the game. Tomorrow night at 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific, CBS Sports Network brings you Big East basketball action as St. John's battles Butler on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. Doing more is brought to you by the Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement with everything you need to do. Project Smarter, the Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Let's take a look at a player who's doing more for his team. How about your boy Russell Westbrook tonight again going off and having his 10th straight triple-double? The guy is just unbelievable. He had 21 14 and 11 tonight. He was 5 of 19 from the floor. Not good. 1 of 6 from downtown. Didn't matter. He hit 10 free throws. He had 14 boards and 11 dimes. Two block shots and a steal. Westbrook, 10 straight triple doubles. Doing more. Brought to you by the Home Depot. The next generation of home improvement with everything you need to do. Project Smarter, the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. There you go. I couldn't even bear watching that TCU game at the end, how bad they were. I mean, honest to God, dude, like, make a free throw. How about the one guy? I don't know who he is. Their big man, number 15. The overtime started, right? The first play of overtime, they had a no-look bounce pass to him underneath on the block, right? Low block. And he got the ball with no one around him. And he went up for the dunk. And then the defense collapsed and rotated to him. And they had two guys trying to swat him, right? And he got all flustered, and he missed everything. He literally, he didn't dunk it at all. Then he tried to lay it in, and he shot it over the rim to the other side, and it was all nothing. And that was it. I was like, and then he got fouled like three more times in the overtime. And every time he went to the line, this guy at the free throw line was just, I mean, it was inexplicable watching him shoot free throws. I saw him standing at the line, bending his knees or something. Down, he went down all low and did this big low bend. And I'm like, what is going on? This kid can't make a free throw shooting like this. Sure enough, he shot an air ball. I mean, it was bad. It was really bad. I mean, watching him in overtime, if I were Dixon, I'd be throwing things in the locker room right now, watching his kids melt down like an ice cream cone. My God, make a free throw for Christ's sakes. Anyway, I'll be all right. Mafia, the word is on the streets that we're having some huge Calypso Bay snowstorm tomorrow, that we're going to be devastated and the world is ending yet again.
Yeah, I heard Drew's going to do a state of emergency again like they did last time. We were supposed to have a huge storm that never came.
Well, the reason why the great esteemed governor who loves coming on the bench, Murphy, the reason he now declares a state of emergency whenever it rains is because we had a storm early on, right, in November that crippled New Jersey and New York City, and no one was prepared for it, and it dumped, like, whatever, a foot of snow, right? And the whole city got crippled by it, and the state of New Jersey was devastated, and there were crashes everywhere, and schools and children missing, hospitals stopped working, babies weren't born, unemployment raised. You know, the bottom line is that now every storm is the end of the earth. The world's ending tomorrow is what they're telling us. It starts at 6 in the morning, and we're literally doomed. I heard children tonight crying about should they have a school day tomorrow, you know, a snow day, no school. They're already clamoring for a late start or no school at all. Unlike New York City, who makes them go to school whenever. I mean, there could be a typhoon, and de Blasio would make the kids go to school. God bless him. Make those runts go to school and learn as little as possible. But in New Jersey, they give them off when the wind blows. They really do. Because all of the kids are from mob families. By the way, speaking of the mob, I watched somehow my wife lured me into watching the John Gotti show on Lifetime, I think, on Saturday or something. There was like this Victoria Gotti thing, a special about, you know, Gotti. And you know who played him was Sonny from General Hospital. Sonny played Maurice Bernard. That's John Kincaid.
Is that the guy that you and Kincaid always fawn over?
Yeah, Kincaid's a huge fan, and he's never been able to get him on the show. He's always telling me he's going to get him on my show, but the guy won't do interviews. He hates me. So there's the deal. He played Gotti, and I thought, you know, the movie was as cheesy as ever. I mean, it was the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. I loved it. It was fantastic. But the whole movie, I was trying to determine if her hair was real or not. Does anyone know if it's real? His daughter? I mean, her hair is literally the blonde hair going all the way to the ground. She was a brunette originally. They showed that in the movie. She got her hair dyed. But I just wondered if it was real or if those were extensions, because that's some long-ass hair she's rocking. I mean, all the way to the ground. It literally looks like NBA players' arms. You know, the ones where they go down to their kneecaps? Have you ever seen these players with, like, a 7-foot wingspan? By the way, my new favorite player is that guy, Bogdan Marjanovic. I just wanted to add that as well early in the show this evening.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Are you kidding me? College basketball is out of control. PharrellOnTheBench.com is nailing games nightly. NBA, same thing. NHL, no one touches me. Boxing, MMA, do we ever get fights wrong? Seriously. I mean, PharrellOnTheBench.com, just sign up. You're going to love it. Everybody does. I just won't admit it. Hide the money from your wife. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. If you need homeowners, renters, motorcycle, RV, or boat insurance, they got that too. Just go to Geico.com. So over the weekend, I saw this story, and I had sent it to Carver High, thinking, I wonder if anything will come of this. And it was a story about some rape allegations at Duke, right? From like 20 years ago, something like that, right? And I was sitting there and I'm thinking, what is this about? And then tonight we found out why. And I don't have, you know, I can't find it. But all I know is this. Corey Maggette, who is on Clippers broadcasts, he does Fox Sports West color for the Clippers. He was pulled from tonight's game with the Timberwolves after a New York Times story came out saying that the woman who accused the lieutenant governor of Virginia of rape claims at the same time that Corey Maggette allegedly raped her while he was at Duke 20 years ago. According to the report, Duke officials, quote, did not pursue the claim, end quote. And she claims, allegedly, that Maggette raped her at Duke 20 years ago, and the school officials did not pursue the claim, according to a childhood friend of the woman and Facebook messages the woman exchanged with other friends. Maggette's 39. He played at Duke from 98 and 99 before being selected by the Sonics with the 13th pick of the draft and played 14 seasons in the league. So he got pulled from the game tonight, and Mike Hill was calling a game with Ralph Lawler. He had to attend a personal matter. Now we know what it is. A spokeswoman for Fox Sports West said that they take the allegations seriously and are looking into it. Maggette said, quote, he denied the accusation through a spokesman. It has only been through media accounts and a statement from this woman's lawyer that I first learned or heard of anything about these allegations. Quote, I have never sexually assaulted anyone in my life, and I completely and categorically deny any such charge, end quote. The report comes after Duke released a statement on Saturday saying they were opening an investigation regarding allegations involving a former player in 99. The statement said that Coach K confirms he had no knowledge of the conduct from 99. There you go. They've never heard of it.
I'm sorry. I just do not believe that. I don't. Even if there was an accusation, something like that. These guys, we talk about this all the time with these college coaches.
Coach Patino never knew anything.
Whether it be Paterno, whether it be all these guys, Paterno, Patino, all these guys that we've, Baylor, all these guys that we've ever talked about.
I never knew that my coach was beating his wife.
They know everything that's happening with their players. Everything they know. So they can say all they want. I don't know anything about it from 20 years ago. They know everything with these guys. It's their players. It's their kids. They know, okay? And even basketball, you're only responsible for what? 15 or 16 of them at a time?
Right.
Whereas in football, you're responsible for, you know, 60 or 70, a little bit harder. But basketball, you got a lot less guys you're responsible for.
I guess my question would be, how are they going to do anything about it from 20 years ago? What are they going to do, drudge up a bunch of people from 20 years ago and get them to testify to something that they don't remember?
I don't know how that stuff works with the law.
I don't know. Well, I'll say this. I don't know how you forget it if you did it, right? If you did it, that's the one thing that you can't walk away from, if you ask me. If you actually did it, how do you deny it? Like, or you know, if you did it, you remember it, right? Like, so if you committed some heinous crime in your lifetime, 10 years, 20 years ago, do you think you'd remember it? Of course you would. And you'd seal it, right? You'd lie about it. It never happened. I never did it, right? Time heals everything. No, it doesn't. Do you think that, so you think that they knew? If it happened, they knew.
I'm just saying, like, even an accusation. I'm not saying that it happened I'm or that they knew it happened. I'm saying if there was an accusation, they knew about it.
Well, why would, in God's name, why would she bring it up now? And she claims... Apparently, what I'm seeing is she claims that she said something then and that Duke did nothing about it. They didn't pursue it. So, obviously, they weren't having it. They weren't going to deal with her. And they weren't going to put up with it, right? They're Duke. They don't need this. We'll just wash our hands of her and it.
What about the police?
Well, I don't know. I mean, now it's all going to come out, right? I mean, at some point or another, aren't they going to get police involved, school police, something? If there was a report 20 years ago of a rape accusation against a basketball player at Duke, it's beyond me that it nobody knows anything about it. It's absolutely, that's just not going to jive. I'm not buying that either, just like Carver High, that somebody knew something. Whether it's campus police, the Duke basketball athletic department, Krzyzewski, somebody. Can you imagine now that even Duke, like, can you believe it? Aren't they the shiny example of greatness? Duke basketball, they're perfect, right? They don't do anything wrong. They don't cheat. Coach K's like Bob Knight, never cheated a day in his life. They got the spit shine your shoes program. They're absolutely never had a problem ever, right? I mean, they're just the greatest thing ever. Now there's rape allegations against Duke. Can you imagine? The whole world's going to stop. They'll still get every call. In every game they play. It's unbelievable watching. I can't even believe watching them play basketball, literally, how many calls they get. I mean, it is. All you have to do is watch. For one day, just watch them play for 40 minutes. They'll get 20 more calls than the team they're playing. I mean, it never ends. It really never ends. The amount of calls they get. I can't even take it anymore. I was talking to Goodman about it, right? Watching this guy, Zion Williams. They showed him missing that dunk last week about 5 million times on ESPN. It makes me sick to my stomach. It really does. So there you go. Corey Maggette having a bad night. Looks like he's got some headaches on his hands now. What could be worse than being accused of rape 20 years later, right? I mean, honestly. 20 years after the fact, they're saying, this chick's saying, what is the deal with this chick, too, by the way? I have to say, she's really on a tear, right? And she just accused, right, the lieutenant governor of Virginia of rape. And now, while she's at it, she throws in Corey Maggette. Is that not bizarre? Like, how many more is she going to rattle off by the end of the week? Is she just going through a whole, like, Rolodex of rape? I don't get it. What's going on here? Does anyone do that? Have you ever seen anyone do two different people in one week? Seriously, no one can even make this stuff up, can you? First of all, I had never heard of this guy, the lieutenant governor of Virginia, until I heard about her allegations, right? Now that guy's running from cameras down the hallway at work. The governor of Virginia, he's having a bad one too, right? He's the one that had the blackface scandal. And then his lieutenant governor, like a day later, gets accused of rape. And now the same woman accuses Corey Maggette of rape. I mean, this is all within like 4 or 5 days, right? Is it not? That's got to be somewhat weird, isn't it? Nobody thinks? Like somebody said to me, remember the one day, Mavia, I had another funeral. How many funerals can you go to in a week? Do people really go to 2, 3, 4 funerals a week? is that possible? I mean, you're really having a bad week if you hit 3 funerals in 1 week, aren't you? I think you are. I mean, I'm not making light of it or being funny. I'm just telling you. Like, I heard somebody say to me the other day they had gone to multiple funerals. I'm like, Jesus, how many can you go to in a week? So anyway, that's crazy. But Corey Maggette having to get yanked off the broadcast tonight. Anyway, as far as other stuff going on, did you see? I want to get into this now, the whole thing with Kyler Murray. He's going pro. He's now dedicating his life to football. He's apparently telling everyone that all the other stuff is a waste of time. He said he's firmly committed his life to being a quarterback in the NFL and has chosen football. We all know he was a two-sport guy. He had signed a deal with the A's. I'm committing my life to becoming an NFL quarterback. That's it. Football has been my love and passion my entire life. I was raised to play quarterback, and I very much look forward to being the best quarterback possible and winning NFL championships. I've started an extensive training program to further prepare myself for the upcoming NFL workouts and interviews. I eagerly await the opportunity to continue to prove the NFL decision makers that I am the franchise quarterback in this draft. There you go. The draft is April 25th, and he could be a first-round pick, and we'll see. You don't think? I think he'll be a first-round pick. For sure.
Yeah, he'll definitely be a first rounder.
So how do you think he's going to do in the NFL? I mean, seriously, he was a great college quarterback. I mean, this guy can throw it. He can sling it, and he has so much speed. People say he has no size. Who cares when you're that fast? This guy can get out of trouble in a hurry and get rid of the ball. He's got a great arm.
Well, the size won't matter. We've seen little guys, little guys in the quarterback world, they say.
It matters to NFL people.
Well, it didn't matter what, Russell Wilson or Baker this year or Drew Brees. I mean, little guys have gotten it done before. There's
Well,
that's not the biggest worry.
But they've already started talking about it. All I heard today was he's 5'9¼".
Well, this was the best news that all these NFL draft people could have ever gotten in their lives, that this guy's just going to focus on this, because now they've got another name they can throw on the, you know, in the pot for the next 2 months of just grinding you down with all that draft talk, you know, just getting you all the nuts and bolts of the
mock draft. 10.4.
Moving up the mock draft here after the combine.
The daily mock draft release.
Oh, they love this stuff. So this was great for them. And then I saw a new thing 5 minutes ago. It said the A's are still pursuing Kyler Murray. They still think that they – guys, he put out a big thing today on his social media.
He's done.
He's playing football, okay?
It's over.
You're not pulling him back in. So just – you go worry about spring training. Pitchers and catchers start tomorrow.
Isn't that who the Yankees played the A's in the wild card game?
Yes.
So do you think they'll still be really good this year for Bob Melvin, the A's? He wasn't going to be on the big team anyway.
No, not this year. He was not going to be on the team.
But, I mean, they're always pretty tough, the A's.
We'll see. We'll see if they come back and are the same that they were last year.
Or do you think they flip seasons? Good, bad, good, bad.
They had a lot of guys come out of nowhere last year and have really good years. They got some strong bullpen. They lost a few of those guys. So we'll see what they're like. They start in Tokyo against the Mariners in middle of March.
Aren't they? So, like, pitchers and catchers are now at camp.
Well, I know the A's start tomorrow because the A's and the Mariners start earlier than everybody else.
But it's all happening, like, this week for
Within
sure.
Within the next week to 10 days, everybody will be getting it going.
So how do you think Kyler Murray's going to do as a pro quarterback? And if you have a guess, who do you think would want him? Who do you think he'll end up playing for? Call the show, 855-212-4227. Do you think he'll be a good NFL quarterback is my question. And Kareem Hunt gets a one-year deal from his old GM in Kansas City, who's now running things in Cleveland. He's from Cleveland, right? He's from Ohio. Didn't he play at Toledo? So Kareem Hunt gets a gig with the Browns, but he's still facing the wrath of the NFL for abusing a woman. Call and talk about Hunt and Murray on a bench.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.